You're listening to Radio Caravan with Scott Hayes and Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.
We got the microphones on. Good morning, Laguna Beach.
Good morning.
Well, that's Laguna Beach. How are you, Laguna Beach?
I'm really well today.
All right. You. That's my co-host, Robert Palmer. And this is KX 93.5. You're listening to what? Radio
Caravan.
Very nice. Robert, what's been going on in your life? Anything fun or interesting?
Yeah, we had a great time. I was trying to get down to see Sean last night, but we didn't get home until very late. We're up at a place in Seal Beach called Spagatini. It's probably the best jazz club around.
Very nice.
Phenomenal music, great food, wonderful time.
We should mention that our guest this morning is Sean Jones, who I consider to be one of the hardest working musicians in Southern California and perhaps one of the most talented. He's here with an acoustic guitar, and we're going to chat about life on the road. He's going to play a few songs that he's written himself, and that'll be in about 15 minutes.
It is indeed, and later tonight he'll be at Lucille's over in Lake Forest. So I would go there and check him out.
Beautiful, man. You did your homework. I love that.
I did, indeed.
Well, let's start with the police blotter and get that going this morning.
Today's police blotter.
Sure, it's beautiful outside. Yes, the sun is shining. The sea is swimming and dolphins are everywhere. It's a beautiful paradise. What could possibly go wrong? Many things, my friends. It's a crime cesspool out there. There's crime everywhere you look. Just let me give you a few examples from this week's police blotter. Thursday, February 11th. The moral of the story, by the way, is you can steal anything you want.
I believe
that. As long as you're in the middle of a divorce. Police declined to investigate a theft of a Ford Mustang. The vehicle's whereabouts were found at the ex-spouse's house. Police said it was a quote-unquote civil matter.
Yes, that sounds...
I would say it's anything but civil at that point. But there's more. Here's some petty theft for you. Get a load of this. What idiot would steal, quote-unquote, three Audi emblems were pried off the rims of a vehicle? Now, there's four Audi rings. How do you pry three off?
Maybe he only needed three.
I don't know. I think that's just terrible. So what do you do? You got one ring left in your car. What do you do? What can you do with that?
I don't know.
It's like Putin could have used that in the Olympics. In Sochi. Remember that one didn't open up?
That's right.
Okay. No luck for Putin, though. Okay. Suspicious circumstances. Wednesday, February 12th. Police are unable to locate anyone, after receiving a report of something flying through a window in an apartment after someone had taken construction scaffolding to try to break in.
Wow.
Now, if you're going to break into a house, why would you haul construction scaffolding all the way across town, set it up, and then fail to get in a window?
That doesn't make sense to
this
me.
This is an incompetent moron who this is. Okay. A 16-year-old female was arrested. You ready for this? This is the kind of crime we've got going. It's a crime wave.
Okay.
They found a cigarette in her car and an Adderall.
Wow.
Yes, I heard that gasp.
That's amazing.
Yes, my friends. It's a crime cesspool out there today. Robbery. A suspect who attempted to shoplift two bottles of alcohol pushed the manager down and fled safely. Unfortunately, he came back to steal one more bottle.
Is that true?
And was grabbed by the police, yes. And it was a $15.99 bottle of vodka. What's he buying? Pop-off? Smear-off? What is this?
I don't know.
Good taste.
The big question is, why would he come back for a second run at that? I mean, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Okay, the police are looking for clues on this one here. You ready for this one?
Yep.
Someone sprayed the word Migo,
spell
M-I-G-O,
okay,
in purple on a wall. Police are looking for the Migo graffiti artist. They have not found them anywhere.
Migo is what?
Not Amigo? Even Amigo. Just
oh, I see.
Maybe they ran out of paint or they spelled backwards. Or dyslexic. I don't know. But Migo is still on
a lot the of list. A lot of famous people were dyslexic, by the way. Tom Cruise, Cher. I can name a list of them.
I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I have ADD. What did you say?
All right. What else we got going? We got About Town going on. Do we have About Town?
Now, your man About Town.
Brian there, engineer Brian, doing a good job this morning. Thank you, sir.
All right, we got a lot going around About Town this week. Let's start with theater, because I know you're a theater buff. We've got over at the Sigismund Center, The Wizard of Oz. This is Andrew Lloyd Webber's version of it.
With wow.
Tim and Tim Rice. They've done a musical. They've turned Dorothy into a musical.
That's
Can you
beautiful.
Imagine that? I'd like to see a flying monkey sing like an aria or something. Wouldn't that be nice?
You know, I saw it there years ago with Mickey Rooney as... Oz.
You saw Mickey Rooney.
I saw Mickey Rooney.
He's been dead since the late 1800s.
No, stop it.
Yeah, I believe you.
And in the middle of his performance, right as he comes on that first scene, he actually stands up, comes out of character, walks to the front of the stage, and starts waving to everybody and bowing for about 5 minutes because people were clapping.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you rise to your feet in awe and clap?
I did. Yeah, Mickey Rooney. You know, he's an icon.
He's actually quite dead now, but yes, he was an icon.
Yeah, he was an icon.
Fabulous. And I'm going to pitch my buddies over at South Coast Repertory live in the Piazza. One of our best productions of the year is going on right now for just a few more days. Encourage you to get over there. Now, if you're a fan of people that paint vegetables or food or desserts, Laguna Art Museum right now, they've got Wayne Theobald and Millard Sheets, a beautiful exhibition going on over there.
Beautiful.
And who doesn't love Tchaikovsky?
I love Tchaikovsky.
We got Gustavo Dumal. He's doing a huge Tchaikovsky festival up in Los Angeles right now, and he's playing with both his own orchestra and the Simon Bolivar Orchestra from Venezuela.
By the way, do you speak French?
Oui.
I mean, are you fluent?
Oui.
Are you seriously fluent in French?
Oui.
All right, is that it on the About Town? Do we have anything else?
Just one more thing. If you're a fan of the show Whitney, Whitney Cummings. Whitney Cummings is actually in town. She's at the Irvine Barclay Theater tonight.
Okay.
Doing her second special for Comedy Central. And oddly enough, the co-star of her show, Chris D'Ella, is over at the Irvine Improm. So if you're a Whitney fan, you can actually see both of them. You could catch her for her 8 o'clock show and then scoot over and see Chris for his 10 o'clock show.
Great job.
Well, I've got a little tech here for you.
Oh, go.
This is my favorite new spot to go on the computer. It's a website called Forgetify. Have you heard about this?
Never.
Did you know that currently on the web there are over 20 million songs that are available? Spotify is a big website. It collects every single song ever known to mankind. Of those 20 million, 4 million have never once been played by anyone.
Wow.
And Forgetify actually has the worst songs you've ever heard in your life. I encourage you to try it out. Forgotify.com.
Beautiful.
I went on. There were some Persian dancers singing around and screaming weird things. It was really strange. So I've now listened to one song that no one in the world has ever listened to before.
Nothing more fun than watching people scream weird things. Okay. What we got going on with Legends of Rock? Here we go.
Legends of Rock. Rock.
November 27th, 1942, Seattle, Washington. Do you know who was born that day?
I do because I know who the legend is.
That would be
Jimi Hendrix.
Correct. But he was born as Johnny Allen Hendrix and later changed his name to Jimmy when he was 3. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy was born in Seattle, and he had a very troubled childhood. His mother, Lucille, oddly enough, really wasn't a very good mother, and his father spent much of his time in jail. So he was raised essentially by his stepkids. And it turns out that the guitar was his solace. That's what he found. That's what he fell in love with. You know the first instrument he ever played?
No.
A one-stringed ukulele. He found it in the trash can, and he played
it. How interesting.
And he begged his parents to buy him a guitar. So Hendrix comes along. He decides he's going to join the Army in 1961 because he's got nothing else to do. He was quickly flushed out as being unsuitable for the Army.
Hmm.
But he got an honorable discharge. Then he finally, in 1966, met Chaz Chandler, who became his manager, decided what he needed to do was move to London, that the States weren't right for him. And he hooked up with Noel Redding and Mitch Mitchell, and they created one of the most famous bands in the world, the Jimi Hendrix Experience. Which we all know. And in 1967, they released this song.
You know, I caught him messing around with another man. Yeah. I'm going down to shoot my lady. You know, I caught him messing around with another man. And that ain't too cool.
Shortly after that, he came out with his second hit on the 1967 album, one of my personal favorites. Purple Haze, baby. Our Experience spent 33 weeks on the chart. It was remarkable, but it never made it to number one. You want to know why?
Why?
Our guests of just last week, the Beatles.
Oh.
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band didn't make it.
Wow.
So one night in London, Hendrix heard that the Beatles were coming to see him. Can you imagine that?
Uh-huh.
And let me quote Paul McCartney here. Quote, the curtains flew back and he came out walking up to me and he busted into Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Quote, it's a pretty major compliment in anyone's book. I put it down as one of the greatest honors of my entire career.
Wow.
So, Jimmy is still really not yet known to Americans at this point in time. So he comes on over here and he plays what, my friend? The Monterey Pop Festival, where he made history. And you may recall one of the most iconic images in history is Jimi Hendrix. You're doing the gesture right now. Standing over his guitar,
yep,
lighting it on fire. Well, here's the story of that photo. Jimi Hendrix set his guitar on fire in 1967. A young man, age 17, who had never seen him before, is in the front row. His name was Ed Carriff. Ed had a camera with him, and he only had a few shots left. The flames were so hot, he had to use the camera to shield his face from the heat. He took four photographs, and in 1987, it wound up on the cover of Rolling Stone, and it has been the most iconic photograph in history, many describe it.
On the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Well, Hendrix came along next with Bold as Love, but more importantly, in 1968, he released Electric Ladyland, and he had his only big top 40 hit off that. Tower was probably the height of his career, but my personal favorite had to be One Snowy Day, sitting in a drive-in movie in Lincoln, Nebraska, with a six-pack of beer with my buddies when we were 16 years old. Watching Woodstock. The very last performer to play at Woodstock was none other than Mr. Hendrix. He'd been up and stoned out of his mind for 3 days.
Yeah.
He used to put blotter acid in his headband so he'd be stoned out of his mind whenever he played.
Wow.
He walked on the stage and, almost unknown to anyone, busted into this song, which today is described as probably the most famous guitar song in history. After, a young Jimmy, age 27, choked to death on his own vomit on a drug overdose.
Yeah.
He took 10 of his girlfriend's sleeping pills, never woke up again. Got some Hendrix trivia, though, that I thought I might want to share with you here.
That sounds good.
Okay. He's most famous for playing what guitar upside down, restrung for the left hand? That'd be a Fender Stratocaster, my friend. By the time he died, he had lost over 60% of the hearing in both of his ears. Want to know why? Whenever he played his studio and was recording, it was so loud that he was the only one that could stand in there to hear the volume of what he was playing. Who did he tour with in 1967 as an opening act?
No clue.
The Monkees.
Is that true?
The Monkees loved him, and they insisted he go on tour with them.
Oh, could you imagine?
Halfway through the tour, he was thrown off the tour for outshining the Monkees at every turn.
Oh, yeah.
So at this Monterey Pop Festival we were talking about, there was a debate whether who would go last, the Who, Pete Townsend, or he.
Yeah.
He lost, and that's when he came up with the idea of lighting a guitar on fire. It was the only way he thought he could top Pete Townsend smashing a guitar to bits. He's the only Native American ever to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Huh.
Here's my favorite. Yeah. He's a member of a very elusive club. It's called the 27 Club. Do you know about the 27 Club?
I don't.
The following people died when they were 27 years old. Jimi Hendrix, Rolling Stone founder Brian Jones, Janis Joplin, Jimmy Morrison, Kurt Cobain, and we all know why he killed himself. You've met his wife, right? And finally, Amy Winehouse, the 27 Club.
The 27
and
Club.
And that's our Hendrix trivia for today.
That's beautiful. A round of applause here. Very nice job. Yeah, beautiful, Robert. Okay, listen, we've got Sean Jones coming in, one of the hardest, perhaps one of the most talented musicians in Southern California. We're going to roll into one of his songs right now. If you're ready for us, Brian, we're going to take about a one-minute break and get him set up, and we'll be back. And by chance, he happens to be a lefty as well. He plays the guitar left-handed.
He does indeed.
And I've sort of encouraged him to open up with a Hendrix song. So we're back in 60 seconds. You're listening to Takes 93.5 FM.
so many trials, Lord. And dues I've got to pay. When I smile, helps me make it through the day. If I had only one prayer that I could pray, it would be to heal the brokenhearted, and that love would find a way. Let me tell you that love's gonna find a way. Love's gonna find a way. As sure as the sun is coming up today, love will find a way. It's a twist and turn and roll, made of sticks and stones. And buried down below are so many broken bones. There's a place I've been told where the streets are paved with gold. All you need is your soul, and you'll never grow.
You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. I'm here with my co-host, Robert Palmer.
That was some tasty music there.
Very tasty music, by the way. That's a song written by Sean Jones called Love's Gonna Find a Way. And Sean was very kind enough to contribute that song to the Shelter Me benefit CD we did for Friendship Shelter a few years ago. So, Sean, by the way, I appreciate you doing that for us.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Very kind. Yeah.
Thanks
yeah.
for having me.
It's a great song. Hey, you know, I call you one of the hardest working musicians in Southern California. I went online 200 gigs a year, 4 studio albums, 1 live album. And don't you tour with the country music artist Deanna Carter?
Yes, Deanna
Carter.
Deanna
well?
Carter. She,
yeah.
she wouldn't want to hear you say Deanna.
Well, how do I pronounce it?
Deanna.
Deanna, okay. Yeah, Deanna Carter. Yeah, my
Deanna
mistake.
Carter. Yeah, Strawberry Wine, baby.
Strawberry Wine, yeah.
yeah.
And so you just, you're a constant, hardworking musician. It's a full-time gig. You've mm-hmm. been doing it your whole life, no?
Yeah, we actually just got back from Newfoundland. We were there last weekend, mm-hmm. touring over there. I learned how to say Newfoundland. You don't say Newfoundland, you say Newfoundland. But anyway, yeah, I've been doing this for a long time, 26 years full-time, and then yeah. Playing for blah, 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 number of years.
Yeah.
How many was that again, Sean?
Yeah, well, it starts with a 4. Yeah. We'll just leave it right there.
Well, you look pretty good for being 144 years
well,
old.
Yeah. It's that reverse aging stuff that I take.
Hey, we were just talking about Hendrix and his Stratocaster. I was just listening to that tune you played. That sounds like a Strat. What
it
kind
was.
Of guitar do you play?
I play a lot of, I have 35 guitars.
Was that a Strat, though, we just heard?
Yeah, that was a Strat. Okay. Yeah, that was my main axe that I play.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Is that the one that Waylon and Willie and everybody signed for?
No, that's a Telecaster that I actually, when Waylon started managing me, I went around the last Highwayman tour, and I unbolted the neck off my Tele, and Waylon took me around, and he signed it first, and then he took me around.
You ever heard that story? You banged on the door of the bus and said, would you mind signing this? And he goes, I got an idea for you.
Yeah, that's exactly that.
How cool
exactly
is that?
What happened. That's exactly
So who else signed that thing? There are a lot of signatures on that.
Yeah, Johnny Cash, Chris Christopherson, Willie, Waylon, and Jesse Coulter signed that guitar.
Don't ever lose that guitar.
Well, it never leaves the house unless I'm shooting a video with it or something, you know.
Hey, so. Sean, let me back up a little bit here. I'm curious. You're a guitarist, if you want to call it that. It
well,
seems to
you.
Me you're really focused on being exceptional at the guitar. My question for you is, what made you initially pick up a guitar?
My father played and sang old country songs, mm-hmm. and, you know, 4 years old, he's sitting on the couch playing a guitar, and mom played the piano, and they just sat around and played music, and, I mean, it was, I gravitated to it, mm-hmm. just immediately, you know. And one night, I remember, I woke up in the middle of the night, I went out into the living room, and there was a white Stratocaster sitting there. I don't know whatever happened to that guitar. It'd probably be worth $15,000 now, because that was in the late 60s, early 70s. So, yeah, but I mean, I always knew I wanted to play.
Yeah.
It just...
Did you initially pick it up left-handed?
My dad, on the Christmas of 1973, took his guitar and strung it up left-handed and gave it to me for Christmas, and bought himself a new Martin, which I now own. He passed away 10 years ago, and it took me a while to restring that one lefty, but yeah, so.
So you learned to play guitar on a Fender and a Martin.
Well, no,
Poor Hendrix had a ukulele with one string he found.
The Fender I never saw again after that night.
Okay, that was it?
But I started on acoustic, and I started left-handed.
Wow.
So, wow. Yeah. And you said somewhere on your bio that you felt as though the guitar saved your life as a kid.
Well, it did, because I grew up in the bad part of San Bernardino. And By the way,
just where is the good part of San Bernardino?
well, that's funny.
There is an In-N-Out. I've been there.
Well, back when I was a kid, you know, the north part of San Bernardino still has very nice homes. It's a lovely place up in the north part by the hillsides. But down below where I lived over by Norton Air Force Base, Baseline and Waterman, it was tough. It was a tough area, and I was kind of the minority. And walking to school, there was an area called the Waterman Gardens between my elementary school and where I lived that you didn't walk through there.
Wasn't much of a garden to you, I think.
No, there was no garden about it. More of a swamp. Yeah. But anyway, it was funny because I got jumped a lot as a kid and threatened and stuff. And as soon as I started carrying my guitar, because I was obsessed with the guitar, period.
From the very beginning?
From the very beginning. And so I started carrying my guitar to school, and nobody jumped me after that. I would open up my case and play, and people would throw their milk money and their lunch money in my case.
That's amazing. Let me share some Hendrix trivia. He used to get beat up. He used to live in a bad part of town. He used to carry a broomstick around with him, pretending it was a guitar.
Yeah.
And he said the day he started carrying a guitar, he never got beat up again.
Yeah. So that's what happened to me. And my stepmother, when I was 12, I moved with my dad to Huntington Beach, and she gave me a Jimi Hendrix record.
Really? Wow.
Think if you
picked up the harp, you probably would have got the hell kicked out of your hand. Dragging that thing around San Bernardino.
I'd have stuck in my throat. Yeah.
So that's when you first got onto Hendrix, huh?
Yeah, my stepmother gave me Are You Experienced, and I saw that he was left-handed. And at first, I didn't even know how to take listening to it the first time. It was the most wild outside, because, you know, I'm listening to Seasons in the Sun and Seals and Crofts on the radio in my mom's car.
A little summer breeze there.
Somebody hands me a... Yeah, and the guy that produced and discovered and put together Seals and Crofts became my manager later in life. And it was the guy who actually introduced me to Waylon Jennings, and he's still my friend, lives up in Oxnard, and I live in Ventura.
Amazing.
Now.
They're big proponents of the Baha'i faith, if you ever met them.
Yeah.
So the guitar has always been sort of, and I'm going to use a cliche here, sort of been your best friend, yes?
Yeah, well.
It's always been with you. It sort of gave you
an appendage.
It's an appendage, yeah. And you play it like it's an appendage. I mean, it just seems so natural to you.
Thank you.
I thought, you know, we were talking about Hendrix earlier, and I saw a video of you performing the song The Wind Cries Mary.
Yeah, that was in Belfast I did that, in a little town called Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Hollywood.
Yeah, Hollywood.
Yeah, H-O-L-Y.
I thought, just to give us a little taste, maybe a minute and a half of The Wind Cries Mary, and then we're going to roll into your career and listen to some of your original songs as well.
Okay, so...
I know it's early, too.
Wind Cries Mary. Mm-hmm. Here we go, on the acoustic.
The audacity to play that on the acoustic is amazing. I've seen this video.
Half of the jacks are in their boxes, and all the clowns have all gone to bed. You can hear happiness staggering on downstream. Footprints dressed in red. And the wind whispers merry. A broom is drivelly sweeping of the broken pieces of yesterday's life. Somewhere a queen is weeping. Somewhere a king has no wife. Whoa, the wind cries Mary.
That's the tastiest musical breakfast I've ever had. That was extraordinary.
That is that's extraordinary. Yeah, I mean, that just really demonstrates, I think. The reason I asked you to kind of, it just demonstrates your talents as a vocalist, as a guitarist, et cetera. How do you rate yourself as a guitarist? I got to believe you.
I don't.
I mean.
I say this.
Okay.
I say this. Nobody is as good as me at being me.
Okay, fair enough.
And I'm, you know, there's so many, like I'm a big... Well, I'm a big Derek Trucks fan. I'm a big Joe Bonamassa fan.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great players out there, but they're way better at being them than I could be at them. And I've never really tried to approach, like if I do a cover of someone else or what have you, I don't want to try to do it like them. Mm-hmm. I want to do it in the spirit of them.
Right.
But I want to, you know, I'll listen to it and get the feel of what they're doing and then take it into my own little direction.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the only way I could tolerate, like I could never be in a tribute band. I think I'd probably start a landscaping service or something.
Right.
Just because nothing wrong with it, but it's just not what I set out to do.
Gotcha.
I just want to do my thing.
Yeah, you know? Fair enough.
Speaking of Joe Bonamassa, I saw you were on the same cover of Blues Matters with him. He was on the cover, and there was your photo up in the upper right-hand corner. That guy's just a guitar god to me.
Yeah, he's amazing. I did a show with him at Doheny.
Wow.
And it was me and then Joe and then Little Feet and then Bonnie Raitt. And all the guys in Bonnie Raitt's band are friends of mine. I really love them too. But then I did two shows with Joe at the Coach House, and I opened acoustically for him, which was great.
He was just at the Kodak Theater a while ago too, I think.
His career is just catapulted.
Did it? Little Feet still playing?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're awesome. I love that.
It's an amazing band.
I did a gig with him and Robin Ford, too, at the Galaxy. That was an amazing guitar night.
Yeah.
I sold a bunch of CDs that
night. Did you?
Hey, we talked earlier about Waylon Jennings, and he managed you for a period of time there?
Yeah, about a year and a half. Uh-huh. We were introduced by a guy named Steve Bender, who is like my second father, and he was the one that introduced me to Waylon and then ended up managing me for a while, and then when he introduced me to Waylon really liked my music and took me kind of under his wing. And that's when I did that little Highwaymen tour. I actually just followed them around. Hmm. And they'd go on to the next town, and I'd get the hotel room. Mm-hmm. So I could get out of my truck, out of the back of my truck, and have a decent bed to sleep in. And then from there, you know, I went out to Nashville, and I did a show on TNN back before CMT, where they, you know, they were saying the new up-and-comer, blah, 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 managed by Waylon Jennings. So that happened. Then his health kind of took a turn. Mm-hmm. So we ended up, instead of him doing the management thing much longer, I ended up doing Lollapalooza with Metallica and Soundgarden because he was asked to play main stage with Ramones, Metallica, Soundgarden, and Waylon. And wow. So I did that tour.
So Waylon's playing with Metallica.
Well, it was his own set. You know, but Metallica
obviously.
It was an
interesting mix. Yeah,
it was. I got to meet and hang out with those guys a bunch, and actually flew out to Jason Newsted's house and jammed with him in his studio, which was fun. And then we went on to do a record in '96 called Right for the Time, mm-hmm. and I played some guitar on that album as well. So
What would you say? I read somewhere where you were talking about good gigs versus bad gigs. How would you describe a good gig versus...
What did you read?
I don't remember. Somewhere on my research.
He's making this guy.
Yeah. But what would you describe as a good gig for you, and then what would you describe as a bad gig for you?
Well...
Please leave this show out of the mix.
It's got nothing to do with time of day.
Okay.
So,
okay.
A bad gig. Wow. A bad gig, I think, is in your mind, and I think that your mind can take you into places that aren't such good places when you're either in a gig where a situation where nobody's listening, mm-hmm. you're not there for them to hear you, you're there as background, which I've done a lot of gigs like that, and it's my job to either turn the room around or just be, you know, it's hard to believe that people like you when they're not saying or clapping, mm-hmm. and, you know, not saying anything or clapping, but actually... You know, the truth is that I've noticed, especially in Southern California, where it's the land of options and you've got TVs everywhere and everything's going on and it's a lot of gigs there. People just aren't there to hear you. So, you know, a bad gig is when you're not in your zone and you're in a situation like that where you're letting the situation dictate your mood. And, you know, for me... I've learned over the years to, you know, Willie used to always say, you know, do the gig for yourself first and then the rest will come. And I've learned to do that. And I still have to work on that all the time because there are gigs when if you play, you know, a good gig to me, if I'm playing for two people and they're going bananas, mm-hmm. I've got a good gig going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, if you're playing for 200 people, but... You know, you're at a private party and nobody's paying any attention to you, but the pay is really great.
Yeah.
Well, that's the good part of that gig is that money.
That's the only good part of that gig.
Yeah, that and then you just, you know, then use that as practice as to, you know, focusing and centering. I just go inside and work on my thing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, 200 gigs, I mean, you're constantly on the road.
I'm constantly on the road. And, you know, some years might be a couple less than that or more, mm-hmm. depending on what comes my way and what I seek. Mm-hmm. And I go to Europe a lot now these days, too. So England, Ireland, Italy. I've got a house concert in Austria.
You've got a big following over there.
And it's growing.
When you were young, I heard you went over there when you were young. You keep going back and back.
Yeah, Daryl Mansfield, the Christian harmonica player guy, took me over.
Wait a minute, can you just say that again?
Christian harmonica
player?
Christian blues. Okay. Yeah, so, you know, we all get blue. <You
know? laughs> Jesus had his bad days, too. Later.
Well, you know. Yeah, I suppose he just knew how to get through them better than the rest of us. Yeah, so I went over there with Daryl. I went to Holland 7 times in 1991, and I went to Norway twice, and I went to Finland 1 year, and then the next year they had me headline in 93. Wow. So that was the beginning of my touring in Europe, and then I took a big hiatus from it, not because I wanted to, but I lost connection. I moved to Nashville, and... lived there for a couple of years, came back home. And
you had a bunch of strange jobs down there, too, I was reading.
Yeah, crazy jobs. Landscaper, barista. You move to Music City and get a job.
As a barista. Your wildest dream come true.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got the job because you wanted to continue to be a musician, and you would do anything you could to earn a living to continue
absolutely.
Your music career, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I found myself playing bars all the time out here, and I wanted to be in the music business and not so much the bar business.
Right.
And the template has changed in the music business these days.
Sure.
But back then, either you made records or you didn't, you know.
You know, and that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. And we want to get to your original songs now.
Sure.
We want to hear you as a songwriter. You've got a new CD out, if I'm
mm-hmm.
correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep.
Struggle Makes You Stronger.
Yes, that's what my shirt, SMYS.
SMYS.
Yeah.
You got a beautiful website, by the way. It's well organized.
You.
You got everything that needs to be on there. So
thank you.
Go ahead and give us the web address while I...
It's www.seanjonesmusic.com. And then I'm also on Facebook, Sean Jones. Jones Music, and there's a fan page as well.
And it's Sean, Shawn Jones
thank
Music.
Thank you for clarifying.
.com. Yeah. So let's hear Cut Off, your new titled album, Struggle Makes You Stronger. I think we decided maybe Life is for the Living might be a good one to...
You want to hear me sing that?
If you can. I know it's early.
It is early.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's a video out there on this now, too.
Excellent.
Yeah, okay, so here we go. I went out to see an old friend, laid to rest last Saturday. All his life he worked his fingers to the bone, and all he got him was an early grave. And because life is for the living, let's do some living, you and me. Well, let's make tonight a new tradition. Celebrate the way things ought to be. I give it to me now. When I think of all the time that's wasted, worrying about things we cannot change, so much out there waiting to be tasted, don't want to wake up and find out it's too late. And because life is for the living, let's do some living, you and me. Well, let's make tonight a new tradition. Celebrate the way things ought to be. Well, I've been around enough to know a good thing when I feel it, and I've got that feeling right now. These are the good times to remember. Forget about all your sorrow, but worry about that tomorrow. Because life is for the living. Let's start living, you and me. We're gonna make tonight a new tradition. Celebrate the way things ought to be. I said life is for the living. Let's start living, you and me. We're gonna make tonight a brand new tradition. Celebrate the way things ought to be. We're gonna celebrate the way things ought to be. Come on, celebrate the way things ought to be. Yeah. Life is for the living, y'all.
Beautiful.
A little crack and pop going on there.
It sounded great. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was the process of songwriting. How did you come up with that song? What was sort of the motivation or the inspiration, I guess, for that song?
The title on that one came first. And, the title came first. It doesn't always work that way. And I co-write a lot because I'm very busy, as we've spoke. And sometimes I get the inspiration to write a song by myself. Other times to keep things stimulated, I like to co-write a lot with other people, and I like sharing ideas with people, and sometimes you'll be stuck on a verse or a line or something, and the other person just, bam, there it is. They were thinking about it before you even thought you were going to get stuck. And so I write a lot with a guy named Jeff Silbar. He's one of my co-writers. He wrote Wind Beneath My Wings, and
wow. He
had a few cuts with Johnny Lang, and I mean, the list goes on forever. Reba McEntire, Lee Greenwood, a lot of the country people, and other people like Fleetwood Mac and Mellencamp. He's had songs on their albums.
Wow.
And so he and I write a lot together, and we have probably half that new album is he and I writing together. And then my new album, we have three or four cuts. I'm working on a new album now too with Tarik Acone is producing it, who is the musical director and guitarist for Josh Groban.
Wow.
So we're doing like an acoustic album, but we're also calling in string sections and horn sections. It's going to be a very interesting record. Not so much emphasis on the electric guitar, but more kind of a laid back vibe actually, but treatments on the songs with strings. I've always wanted to put strings on my music. So that'll be, he conducts, they go all over the world, and he'll pick up orchestras, he'll write out all the charts, rehearse them, bring Josh in and then like conduct the orchestra and then turn around and start playing guitar.
Wow.
He's amazing.
Yeah. You know, I was on YouTube last night. For some reason, I tracked down the song Why Me, Lord, written by Kris Kristofferson. And he was on stage with Willie Nelson and some other people. And he talked about the inspiration of writing that song. And I think that's an incredible song, personally.
Yeah,
I believe oftentimes the best songs are the ones that are most simple, you know. Do you write for yourself mostly or perform your own songs? Or do you sometimes write for other musicians as well?
Well, no, I write songs.
Okay.
Now, as I write songs, there's been a few times where I've set out to write a song for a person or a thing or a film, or I've had a few film and TV cuts. But usually my best writing is done when I just want to write a good song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see where that fits, whether it's for me or someone else or me and someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't often set out to write for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just about a topic or an idea. I try not to edit myself before I even get started.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I do that, I feel like it kind of clogs up the creative flow and process, you know.
Yeah.
So
you up for another song off your off your CD titled Struggle Makes You Stronger? You want to do the title?
Yeah, I
can
do that. Sure.
Okay.
Sure. I wrote this with Dina Carter's brother, who's one of my best buddies, and he and I, we got our SMYS shirts going now. We've trademarked the logo, and a lot of the money from the proceeds of that is going to different functions and so forth now.
Beautiful.
So that's kind of a neat thing.
What's the inspiration behind the song we're going to hear?
Struggle Makes You Stronger is a song that I came up with the title. Mm-hmm. I brought it to Jeff, and we wrote it before both of our dads were gone. But it's just kind of a, you know, it's the older what it doesn't kill you makes you stronger type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just affirmation in life you know, realizing that through the struggle, you know, we can gain strength, you know, from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of a universal adage, topic, mantra, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what this is about.
Nice.
It's had about three different tempos, but this is the one we settled on.
All
so.
Right.
Well, my daddy said, whatever didn't kill me bound to make me stronger. So I tried to find the easy way around what I didn't want to do. Sick and tired of listening to his preaching, I couldn't take it any longer. I couldn't see how he would understand what I was going through. When I got out on my own, I found out before too long, the struggle makes you stronger. The struggle makes you stronger. You can lose and you can win, but struggle makes you stronger. Well, all right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now things have changed. Nothing stays the same. They say the good old days are through. Cost of living's getting so outrageous. And my credit's overdue. So I try to lead a simple life, but I end up spending more than I made. Too much weight on my back. Sometimes it feels like it's gonna break. It's gonna break. If my old man was here today, look at me and he'd say, boy, the struggle makes you stronger. Well, the struggle makes you stronger. You can lose and you can win, but in the end, struggle makes you stronger. where the struggle makes you stronger, yeah. I said the struggle makes you stronger. You can lose and you can win, but in the end, the struggle makes you stronger. Well, the struggle makes you stronger. I said the struggle makes you stronger. Well, the struggle makes you stronger, yeah. Struggle makes you stronger, yeah.
Sean Jones, everybody. Beautiful.
That's amazing.
You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. This, of course, is Radio Caravan. I'm Scott Hayes with my co-host Robert Palmer. Hey, I'm wondering if the blood of your father runs through the fingertips of your guitar playing.
Oh, it does.
I feel it.
It does the bravado, I think, more than anything.
Is that it?
My old man, he was way cooler than I'll ever think of being. We used to play the Swallows all the time together back when he was still alive.
San Juan Capistrano?
Oh, wow.
That was his favorite bar to play, and there's a plaque of him up in there. If you walk up and you look at the stage to the left, there's a pole there, and if you go to the other side, on the band side of that pole, there's a picture of my dad. That was his last gig playing the Swallows. And when we would play those gigs together... Everybody wanted to hear him. They didn't want to hear me.
How funny.
Well, let's hear your dad. You know.
Why him? What were his skills?
He just, you know, he'd play those old, you know, those old country, you know. Well, hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me? You know what I mean? You know, yeah. You get it. You get every gal in the house going crazy with him doing that kind of stuff.
And would he be proud of you today?
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so. I try to always make my father proud and probably to a fault. And just I probably moved to Nashville just because I wanted to make it in country music because of him. I mean, although I have that in my soul. Yeah. You know, I'm a crazy blues rocking fanatic, mm-hmm. you know, but I can't help but have some country roots in my music too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, hence working with Dina and working with Waylon and those people. Getting to introduce my dad to Waylon Jennings, which was one of his big... Nice. He loved Waylon, so they got to hang out and meet each other.
Well, he had to love you for that. And he didn't introduce you to Waylon. You introduced him to Waylon.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He had to be proud of his son that day.
Yeah, that was a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, your struggle. We were talking before the show. I did what you did for a while. I lasted 3 years on the road. 50 weeks a year we were on the road, so about 200 gigs
wow.
a year. That's tough. I couldn't go another day. Yeah, but you're doing it 40 years. I mean, you're waking up in a different city. You're waking up with different people.
Well, 25 on the road, 40 playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gave away my age,
nah,
man. See?
No.
I'm kidding.
But the struggle makes you stronger. You do not, I mean, it beats you down, that process. It's exhausting, as you know. And just you're away from family and friends, and you're mm-hmm. in a different city, in a different place every night. How do you keep doing it? The struggle does seem to make you stronger. You look very healthy. You look like you take great care of yourself.
Well, yeah, well, that's part of it. And the other part of it, take Geritol every day. No, I'm just kidding. No,
What keeps you going, Sean?
Well, for me, having faith is a big part of it for me.
Yeah.
Another part of it is feeling as though I have a purpose on the earth, and you know, whether or not people find out about my music while I'm alive or after I'm gone, leaving something behind is important to me. And in leaving behind songs and leaving behind lyrics, things that people can reflect back onto that might help them through their life, that's what keeps me going.
It's
it really
fantastic.
Does.
Yeah, Scott was asking what makes the difference between a good gig and a bad gig, and my one word response was going to be the crowd. I've played in front of 50,000 people. I've played in front of 5.
Yep.
And it's just how much they're enjoying what you're doing and how you're relating to them is always what got me on.
But if you've got the 5 people and
they're loving it, it's a better gig than a big gig.
Yeah, and like I say, when I think that really it comes down to yourself, because if for whatever reason you're not connecting with people, which I generally do, but you know, sometimes you just get into a situation. Right. I did a Christmas party at a place where a guy had a 36,000 square foot house. They weren't there to hear me. I played my guitar, and I was in the corner, but I went in within myself and I made it a good night.
Right.
I think you have incredible stage presence, by the way. Musicians have good stage presence and are as talented as you are. And you've got great stage presence. And I think part of that is just what you said. You sort of internalize that performance and that sort of emotes out to the audience in a really, really credible way.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Emote?
Did I say emote? I apologize for that word.
No, that was kind of cool. I didn't say one coming. It was like a curveball there. It's like a Christian harmonica player. Those are my two treats for the morning.
All right. By the way, you're listening to Cakes 93.5, Laguna's only FM. In the studio this morning, we have Sean Jones, hardest working musician in Southern California, an extraordinarily talented singer, guitarist, songwriter. Are you playing tonight?
I am playing tonight. I do those Lucille's barbecue places. They're actually really fun. And I'm doing the one in Lake Forest tonight, 6 o'clock.
If you haven't been, it may seem silly, but Lucille's, not only is the food good, but the bar's great, and they tend to have some of the best blues and jazz musicians I've heard, mainly blues, and it's just a wonderful evening.
Yeah,
I think I'm coming tonight.
So. Oh, please do. It'll be great.
And then you're playing next Friday at Stillwater down in Dana Point, which you play quite a bit, yes?
That's right. And Gary Faulkner now is going to start giving me my own night at the Coach House, which I'm very excited
really?
To say.
Wow.
We did a show with Los Lobos that was sold out, and I've been playing there for 10 years, and we're conjuring up a date pretty soon, but they're going to start giving me my own night, which is great.
That sounds great, man.
And when you play, can you tell me about your band? Who do you like to play with?
Well, I have a stable of musicians that I work with. Craig McIntyre, who's been playing drums with me for quite a while now, he just went on to work with the Goo Goo Dolls. So now he's in the Goo Goo Dolls.
Wow.
Or at least for a time. We'll see.
That's too bad his career fell like that.
Yeah, exactly. The bass player is Sam Boley, who plays with Dick Dale. And now that the drummer for Dina Carter, who just started with him because Craig was playing with Dina, he's now going to be working with us at Stillwater. His name is Christopher Ellis, and a great musician.
We've got less than 4 minutes, I believe. And, you know, I think of success in the music industry, I think it starts with a great song. If you want to leave us with one of your original songs, is there a particular song you would like to leave us with?
Well, you know, we've been talking about my dad a bunch.
We have.
And I've been rocking out for the last, you know. How about I do one that I wrote for my father?
Beautiful.
Be fantastic.
Okay, so let's do that. Nothing compares to the way that I feel when I think of all the times that we shared. Followed in your footsteps and tried to make you proud. Took for granted that you'd always be there. And now I miss you more than ever. And I wish we could be together for just a little longer. You can teach me to be stronger than I. You were my best friend. You left me your guitar, and every time I play it, I can hear the haunting sound of your sweet voice. Singing through the night by the campfire light, songs you taught me when I was a boy. And now I miss you more than ever. And I wish we could be together for just a little longer. You could teach me to be stronger than I am, 'cause you were my best friend. Tell me what it's like on the other side. Knowing you won't have to fight is worth every tear I've cried. 'Cause you're not gonna suffer anymore. You slipped away and through the open door. And now I know what living here is for. But I miss you more than ever. And I wish we could be together for just a little longer. You could teach me to be stronger than I am. Cause you were my best friend. You were my best friend.
Sean, somebody's looking down from heaven with a big smile on their face right now, and I think it's your dad. That was amazing. Thank you.
That was beautiful, Sean. Very nice, man. You've been listening to Sean Jones. By the way, www.seanjonesmusic.com, S-H-A-W-N, Sean. And thank you so much, Sean, for coming in. It was a great show. You really you held up, man. You did a great job.
Come join us tonight at Lucille's. We'll all be there.
Looking forward to it. Thank you very much, you guys.
Beautiful. You've been listening to KX 93.5 FM. We are Radio Caravan. I'm Scott Hayes.
Robert Palmer.
And we're out of here. There you go.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Radio Friendship Caravan Show. With Scott Hayes up next. And Robert Palmer and reporter Megan Jamerson.
Dig that.